weekend is not complete without the First Lady of New York Radio. It's the Joan Hamburg Show, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Americans are obsessed with the royals. They talk about them. They love to hear about them. Pictures of royal and royal events are all over our papers. They are considering night and day the relationship between brothers, between couples, kings. It's all part of the big game there. And do you ever wonder why are Americans so obsessed with the royal family and their comings and goings? The picture of Kate Middleton has been seen, I can't even tell you how many times, and sitting on a bench, looking perfectly healthy and prim and proper, and then the conversations begin. Did you see her? What'd you think? How did she look? I want you to meet, if you haven't already, because you've seen him on all the major channels all over the world from CNN on, Richard Fitzwilliams. He is a commentator. If you read his bio, you think this man probably has one of the most interesting jobs anywhere. He gets to talk to people who change the world on a daily basis. So the world is still changing all around us, Richard, and the obsession with the royals is stronger than ever. You hear it. If you're on public transportation in New York, you hear people taking bets and odds about the brothers and what's going on and about Princess Kate. Does it surprise you that Americans are so into this?
I think the whole world, or a very large amount of it, is similarly fascinated. Now, it doesn't surprise me because being interested in the royal family, it's fascinating to know that although there are 44 countries, I think that's accurate, which still have a monarch as their head, and 14 of them are King Charles's realms, the facts simply are that more people are interested by far in the British royal family than any other. There's nothing that even begins to compare with it. And from that point of view, I think when things are going well, and we saw this in the reign of the late Queen Elizabeth, much of it, not in the 1990s, not in recent years, but that is excellent. When things are going badly, it's worldwide news.
Right. And today, our local papers are quoting the king's butler, Grant Harold, talking about his voicing the opinion that a reconciliation between the royal brothers is very possible. And that's what we have as headlines today.
It's also a controversial topic. It is indeed, I would agree, possible. On the other hand, of course, as you know, the royal split is very deep, and also they reportedly haven't spoken in months. There's no question that it's also, I think, a question of trust. But equally, I can see his point of view, because obviously illness is a game changer, and there's no doubt that I mean, this is absolutely unprecedented, as you know, of course. King Charles is undergoing treatment for cancer, and also Catherine is undergoing a course of preventative chemotherapy. So it's a very difficult time.
Yeah.
Oh, it's extraordinary.
Right. And you have to feel so sorry for them, because they really have no privacy, no matter what people say. And to have your life, bandied about like that?
Of course they have a right to privacy, but then in the case of King Charles, he's making sure he's being seen as much as possible, especially when he's able to carry out the significant royal functions, such as meetings with the Prime Minister or with ambassadors and so forth, and of course he has his red boxes signing bills into law and so forth, but of course he can't carry out royal engagements. But unfortunately, and you can feel for Catherine in this, Princess of Wales has been, as you know, the eye of a positive hurricane of speculation in recent weeks, until we saw, of course, the extraordinary video message where she talked frankly and bravely. I think it was one of the most courageous broadcasts, certainly on that topic, that has ever happened.
Right. I'm talking to Richard Fitzwilliams, who is one of the best-known commentators on the royals, among other things, and he's very much in the paper and in the press himself. And what is the feeling about Harry and Meghan? Are they back in the public eye in a positive way?
Well, I think that so far as Britain's concerned, it's very, very negative and has been for a long time. But the impression I've had is that Harry and Meghan haven't greatly cared. Their interest has been the United States and the wider world, not Britain, because some or several years of attacks on Oprah, on where the Oprah particular was particularly damaging. It's cost the royals a lot of support, especially in the 18 to 24 year olds, and also to some extent in the Commonwealth. So their popularity is at a very, very low ebb in Britain, but it has been for some time. What is rather significant is, of course, that it in the polls in the United States, it has been far lower than it was, and also there's little doubt that Catherine and William poll well.
Yeah, but so many of the younger royals or involved in all this don't seem interested in playing a professional role.
Well, there unfortunately, this is of all the royals which undergo royal engagement tickets and royal engagements, what you have is only four of them are under 70. The younger, there are not very many. In point of fact, Andrew has been in disgrace, as everyone knows. Indeed, two films, which actually depict his car crash interviews, it's known, on Newsnight, when he was asked to explain his friendship with the deceased paedophile Jeffrey Epstein, right, and showed no compassion for any of the victims. Beatrice and Eugenie, his daughters, they would probably have been able to help a bit with the numbers of engagements carried out by the royals, since King Charles and Catherine can't. This isn't likely. They do a little, but that's probably it. The York brand is pretty toxic, there's Duke of York. I think that there is a problem, however, here with regarding the wider royal family. 10 years ago, the royals carried out over 4,000 engagements. Mm. Last year, it was some 2,200 and so. If you're looking into the future, that's going to go down a good deal, because, of course, one of the problems with illnesses that you can't plan. And one of the difficulties there is, and I think this is one of Britain's top sources of soft power, is a royal trip abroad. Now, that isn't likely with the King and Queen foreseeably. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. And also, of course, it's hardly likely with William and Catherine, at least foreseeably either. I mean, in October, you've got the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting in Samoa, and that was likely to have been followed by a trip to Australia and New Zealand, which are still realms. Australia, as you remember, in 1999, voted to reject a republic. But we'll see what happens. He'll certainly be represented, definitely, I would have thought, by Prince William and hopefully Catherine, but that will depend, of course, on medical advice. It's very difficult to plan.
Right. And she's no longer obviously in hiding, or it seems to be dealing with the public in a very positive way. But we only know what, you know, printed on the front pages.
The front pages were, it was far from edifying. From the New York Times downward, there was enormous speculation,
right,
partly because she hadn't been seen for some 2.5 months. And of course, there was an unfortunate episode where Prince William had to pull out of King Constantine, his godfather's memorial service. We now understand the reason was that he learned of a cancer diagnosis at that time. Then there was Mothering Sunday. There was a photograph which he took, which he edited, and that was unfortunate because it was rejected by newspaper agencies. But all of this led to all the speculation. It was very, very unfortunate, and also the pressure on her must have been intense because she'd already been in hospital for major abdominal surgery. And to have a major operation and then have to have chemotherapy is daunting.
Now, unbelievable. And as you say, because of medical conditions and privacy and whatever, you can't really, not you, I mean, but no one can really call it or say this is what it is because no one really knows.
That's the problem, and that is when it comes to engagements. I mean, it will be significant. I think King Charles, together with Queen Camilla, will be seen at St. George's Chapel, Windsor, on Sunday at the Easter service, and it's hoped that he might attend the Buckingham Palace garden parties in May, and then, of course, his the late Queen's favourite event of the year, Royal Ascot. He may well be there, and hopefully would be well enough to be there. He was never especially keen on racing, but last year one of the horses bred by the Queen won a race, and he and the Queen were very
excited. And
also there's Trooping the Colour, and that is something he's hoping to attend. Perhaps very differently, he won't be riding. He will probably be in a carriage if he is able to.
And is Harry still loved by the public? Do they go around things they object to, like his marriage or whatever?
His marriage was tremendously popular. One of the things Harry and Meghan don't dwell on is the fact that although we know they were desperately unhappy when they were senior working royals, when they married, it was seen as a game changer. They were the contemporary face of the monarchy. They both, particularly with reference to the Commonwealth, and the marriage was, everyone was in favor of it, and you never hear that. The press were totally in favor of it, and that you don't, again, they don't dwell on that. They dwell on other issues, and those are far from happy. But Oprah, the interview the series of interviews around his memoir Spare, the Harry and Meghan Netflix documentary, all of those were very, very damaging to the monarchy. And also, of course, they monetized their royal connections again, and it's the one thing they do get a lot of money from. There's no doubt, equally, there are other. There's the Netflix contract, reportedly worth $100 million, and also they were attached to Spotify, but no longer. Meghan has a new blog that's going to be launched on Instagram, and lifestyle, a sort of, she used to have a blog called The Tig, now this will be a sort of Tig 2, and also Lemonada Media will be apparently using her podcasts, but there's been nothing really dramatic. Harry will be in Britain indefinitely in May to commemorate the 10th anniversary of the founding of the Invictus Games. Mm-hmm. Now, that's been it was based on the American Warrior Games, and it has been a remarkable project, and for wounded and disabled servicemen and women, and he will also probably, it's been implied, be over perhaps periodically to see his father, as the moment he heard Charles had cancer, he came over. Whether or not he and Prince William will see each other will be a matter, again, of enormous speculation.
But if you had to call it, Richard, and look in your crystal ball, all things are possible. What do you think? Will they take advantage of this time and try to pull it together?
I hope so, but I think if they do, I think if it's successful, this will be privately handled. Uh-huh. I think that what we know and what we're told and what spokespeople say on their behalf, all of this is one side of it. There's serious illness, two senior members of the royal family, and hopefully they might pull it together. But I think, again, it will be what's done away from the press, away from the cameras, and I think it will take weeks and months. I think it will take time because it is a very deep rift, and William feels very badly betrayed. And also, of course, Harry has been critical of Catherine and also the Queen Camilla. So they were evicted from Frogmore Cottage, which was their base in Britain.
Right. There is just so much going on that you don't know where to begin.
But that is the problem, although it doesn't stop everyone speculating, as you pointed out earlier.
Right. But Harry and Meghan becoming senior royals, as they were called, does not seem likely again, or will they fit their place in?
That won't happen. I don't see any chance of any sort of return. I mean, firstly, they haven't got any patronages. And secondly, it would make it all, I think, a bit of a circus. They were unhappy. They left. They've settled in Montecito. And again, if they were in some hypothetical situation to resume royal duties, I mean, again, it would all be about them and not about the charities. And it would overshadow what some of the other royals are doing because their relationship with the media is, it's very,
shaky.
Very close.
Yeah.
The problem is the British press and Harry has, of course, court cases pending against what he believes are excesses. He won against the Amera Group newspapers, and there's no doubt that there was gross press excess, certainly in the past. The problem is also that there's a feud that's developed between the Sussexes and the press now, and that, again, would be very unhelpful in the situation that we are considering, which is purely hypothetical, of course.
Right, but when you look back, I'm talking to Richard Fitzwilliams, who is someone you know, see him quite often on television, hear him on radio. He's one of the top royal commentators, among other things. And it almost seems unprecedented, all this illness and serious illness among not just one person, but several members of the royal family. It's almost mind-boggling. I'm sure even in all your experiences covering royals all over the world, that this is unprecedented.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And of course, also the fact that they're being comparatively open. We don't know the details of cancer that King Charles has, or indeed the cancer that Princess is undergoing preventative chemotherapy for. However, if one looks back at the history of royals and illness, I mean, in the 1930s, it was, well, quite literally George V. His actual death was, he was given a morphine injection by Lord Dawson of Penn, his doctor, so that it would reach the Times in the next morning and not the evening papers.
Right.
That is an actual bizarre fact. In 1952, when Queen's father, George VI, died. He had lung cancer, but he was never told, much less the public. And sometimes when the Queen, certainly in 2021, when she was in hospital, it wasn't announced, and the Duke of Edinburgh was hospitalized on occasion, and we didn't know. The royals have traditionally been as quiet as they possibly can. The other reason is, of course, that the newspaper, various reporters, huge numbers can gather outside hospitals when it's known that things are wrong. So that is the line they took under the late Queen, of course. The royals tended to play down. It was a question also, the Queen has often said, of I must be seen to be believed. That, unfortunately, with King Charles, I mean, he's a workaholic and desperately frustrated because, of course, this is holding up him handling various affairs, doing what he would wish to do. I mean, we knew that William and Catherine were likely to have gone to Italy or planned to go to Italy, and also King Charles and Queen Camilla, Canada, and certainly the Antipodes, with, as I mentioned, the Commonwealth heads of government towards the end of the year, because there was, well, in fact, the Wales is, William and Catherine hadn't been abroad as a team since a couple of years ago, a trip to the Caribbean. So this was definitely on the cards that they were going to do far more this year.
Yeah, well, we'll all keep fingers crossed and hope the best for them. A shock to everyone. And I thank you so much for giving us your time. I look forward to talking to you again. Take care.
It's a very great pleasure.
Okay, thank you, Richard. Richard Fitzsimmons, Rich Williams. I'm Joan Hamburg, and you're listening to WABC. More ahead.